God, we just want to once again just invite you to hang with us in the cafe tonight. Would you speak through me? Would you speak through your word? God, would you teach us what it means to put our faith into action and how we could apply that to our life? God, we need you because it's really easy to have faith sometimes and just not practice it, not put it into action, not do the hard things, not obey, not follow you, not follow through. It's really easy to let the kid who's alone sitting in the corner not being cared about to just walk by them, to not help them. It's easy to see needs and not meet them. So God, would you give us eyes to see and would you help us to meet the needs of the people around us, not just physically meeting needs like food and clothing and that kind of thing, but meeting spiritual needs too, sharing our faith and helping others grow. God, we pray you bless our night tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have a little something silly tonight that I don't know if anybody's willing to do, but I need someone, if they want to be a judge, to wear a silly wig and to wear the judge's robe. And throughout the night, you're going to ring the judge's bell and read some scripture for us, okay? So you have to be willing to wear the stuff, ring the bell, and read the Bible. We got some volunteers. Yeah, that's good. Very good. All right, we have Judge Josie presiding. It's excellent. It works. All right, guys, we're going to talk about James chapter 2. We're going to talk about putting our faith into action. And I thought it might help to start with a few illustrations. So I want to talk about the chair, the ropes course, and the roller coaster. Okay? Those are our three things. The chair, the ropes course, and the roller coaster. So here's what we're going to do first. We're going to do the chair, okay? So I actually have a chair with me, which you're all currently sitting on chairs probably, okay? So I have a question. How many of you have faith in this chair, that this chair would hold you up? Okay, most of you? You're trusting that I didn't mess with it in any way or pick the one that was broken on purpose, okay? So when I see you raise your hands, I believe you have some faith, but I don't believe that it's real because you haven't done anything about it. You raised your hand to say you trust me and that you trust the chair mostly, but the only person I'm really going to believe that has faith is the one who sits in it. So do I have a volunteer who would come and sit in the chair? All right, Justin, I saw you right there. So Justin, you believe the chair will hold you up? Okay, then prove it. Very good. Yay, everybody was a little bit nervous. Okay, awesome. Thank you for putting your faith in that chair. All right, that was silly and easy, and you don't even know it, but you put your faith in stuff all the time, okay? Especially if you drive. You're putting your faith in all those crazy people in Columbus around you that they're not going to wreck you, right? If you're crossing the street, you're putting your faith that you're not going to get ran over. All kinds of things. You just sat in that chair. You sit on furniture all the time. Now, mind you, I've sat in chairs that disappointed me. It's true. True story. Ken's got a story. If you want to hear a funny story about me falling on my butt, ask Ken. True story at Cell Group. It was very public, by the way. Yeah. Darn porch swing didn't hold me up. All right, we got the idea, right? Pretty simple. All right, so the next one is the ropes course, right? And so we've got some of your friends up there. It was awesome. Last summer, we got to go night zip lining at camp. Four-way zip line in the dark was pretty awesome. But I got to tell you, you got your harness on, you walk out there, they clip you into the safety lines, they're getting you all figured out, they put you into the pulley system. And then you have to step off the platform, like it's like 25 feet up in the air. And you've got to trust and put your faith in the cables and the lines and the pulley system. And I got to be honest, it takes my breath away every time. Like I've done it a ton, but something about throwing myself off a really high platform makes me nervous. But I like the experience, right? So these guys, they did that. And Titus here being super brave doing the high ropes course. You've got to tether yourself into the safety line above, right? And just talk to me. What are some of the things you're putting your faith in at that moment? The rope. Each other. The harness. The carabiners. The platforms. The people who built it, right? Okay. All, you got more? The support beams, totally, yeah. And so here's the thing. You could say all you want on the ground that you trust it, that you have faith in the harness, that you believe in your partner, that you believe in the rope that's going to hold you up. But unless you do that and climb out there, your faith hasn't been realized, right? And then Titus shows, yes, he's got faith, and he goes out there and he does it. And these guys got to do some night ziplining too. Okay, cool. All right, here's the third one. All right, we did the chair, the ropes course. Now we're going to do the roller coaster. Okay, this is a true story. I was at Cedar Point a long time ago, and this is a picture of the Magnum, one of the older roller coasters. And if you look in the background, I think you've got like the Top Thrill Dragster back there maybe. I'm in line for like 2 hours for the Magnum, right, because it was fairly new at the time. And I get close, like, you know, we're moving up. Still probably an hour away, right? And they shut down the ride because this first hill was going like this. It was so windy that day off of Lake Erie up in Cleveland that you could just watch the first hill just swaying in the wind. And so they shut down the ride. And so, like, this mass exodus of people leave the line, right? And I'm thinking, how long could the wait be? I mean, I've already waited a long time. So I decided to stay in line, and I just skip through all the people that left in front of me. And so we get up really close, like up to the platform, right? Because people just left. So we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And after a while, the wind dies down, and then they send the cars out empty, okay? And they do a couple test runs. Whew, the cars come back. Here's what killed me. The next thing they did, this just killed me. They took volunteers. They said, would anybody like to volunteer to test out the track? I kid you not. And that day, I did not have faith in Cedar Point. And I did not get on. And I waited until other people tested out the track. And when they came back alive, I rode. Okay? So that day, I didn't have faith in the Magnum or the wind or any of that stuff. I wasn't about to kill myself over a ride, right? Yeah. But you know who had faith that day? Those crazy lunatics who got on the ride to test out the track. I mean, I don't even know how that was legal. Like, that just seems ridiculous to me, right? All right, so that's going to bring us to James chapter 2, all right? James chapter 2. You've got a copy of it in front of you. And I did this crazy fun thing that I hope is going to help you. I color-coded James's passage today because I want you to get the structure of it, all right? If you look at the bottom, I key-coded it for you. At the bottom, you've got a key code that talks about what the different colors mean. So what is black? The color black is the main questions, and we're going to start with the main questions. And then what is blue? Example. Blue, he gives four examples, okay? What is red? Conclusions, okay? So think of this like a courtroom. James presents the argument. He puts the first questions out. Then he's looking for evidence and examples to support it. And then there's going to be conclusions about it, and our judge was our judge. Josie is going to make the final verdict on all the red stuff. Josie, you're going to end up reading for us, okay? And then in green, you've got some extra arguments that he adds, okay? And then is there one more color, or is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Sweet. Okay, so let's start with this courtroom scene. We've got, like, the questions that are going to be kind of what we're going to try to answer. So what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Okay, it might seem like a rhetorical question, but he's going to go ahead and answer it for us. But what do you think? Just as off the top of your head, what good is it if you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? And then he goes on and follows it with, can that kind of save anyone? Okay, can that kind of faith save anyone? What do you think? We'll just take a stab. What do you think the answer is going to be? No. Okay. All right, so let's find out in our little courtroom drama what he's got for us, okay? So we're going to move on to blue, all right? Example number one. All right, it says this. This is a hypothetical example. Okay, he starts out with a hypothetical, just a made-up example. And he says, suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day and stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? What do you think? What good does that do? How many of you have seen a hungry person before? Anybody see someone on the side of the road, on a street corner or whatever? You're living life and you see somebody who's in need, right? You see somebody who's hungry. Raise your hand if you've not given them food and just kind of kept going. Okay, I've done that. I've also given them food and I've also given them money and regretted doing that because they didn't choose wisely with their money. Sometimes I've helped people and sometimes I haven't, but here's the thing. What good does it say? Oh, man, I hope you have a good day. Hang in there. God loves you. I hope you get some food. And you don't do anything to help their physical need. James is like, you missed the point. You don't get it. What good does that do? It doesn't help people, right? All right, so that's example number one. All right, so we're going to move on to conclusion number one. Where's our judge? Judge Josie presiding. Would you ring your bell? Fantastic. Would you come read to us the conclusion? All right, the judge is going to preside and give a ruling about example one. What do you say, Josie?
So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless.
All right, that's the verdict. Thank you, Josie. I like that. You know why James is fun? It's because he's straightforward and practical and gives really good examples. Then he's going to give us some more. Here's an argument. Here's the first argument. All right, it says this. Now, someone may argue, okay, some people have faith and others have good deeds. Like, you know, maybe Justin has faith and maybe Bailey has good deeds and it's okay. Everybody's got their own thing. And James says, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. He's going to show your faith by what he does. Okay. Kind of like actions speak louder than words kind of thing. Right. So that's his first argument. He's going to come up with another rebuttal here. Here's his second argument. You say you have faith for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this. Way to go. And they tremble in terror. How foolish. I like his sarcasm, right? It's kind of funny to me. Like, way to go. You believe that there is one God, but you don't put it into practice. And he's like, look, that means nothing. The demons believe that there's a God and they're afraid of him and they don't put their faith in him and they don't follow him. You're no better than that. Like, you're just foolish if you don't put what you believe into practice. All right. So argument number two. Here's our conclusion. Where's Josie? Ring that bell. Oh, there we go. I think gravity helped you there. All right, what's the verdict on those two arguments we just heard?
Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?
All right, are we getting the point yet? James just isn't going to let it go, though. He's going to keep hammering it home that faith without good deeds is useless. All right, here's example number two, okay? We went from a hypothetical example. Now we're going to go to a historical example. Hey, remember this guy? We got an eyewitness. Let's call Abraham to the stand, okay? Abraham takes a stand. We hear about Abraham. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God? Listen, by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And I highlighted that because I thought that's kind of the key section right there, right? His actions made his faith complete. And it so happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. You guys know what's really interesting about this story for Abraham? Abraham didn't have the benefit of living on the other side of Jesus' life, okay? Abraham lived before Jesus, so he couldn't put his faith in Jesus forward because he didn't know Jesus, but he knew that there would be a Messiah. His faith is lived out, and his salvation comes out of this experience, believing in a future Messiah to come, and that God would provide. And so he actually goes to take the knife to kill his son, and the angel stops him, and God provides what? A ram, right? A sheep, a ram. And then he sacrifices that animal instead. But Abraham's faith wasn't complete until he took the knife, and God stops him, because he put his faith. Had some action to it. Now, I don't know about you. That would be a really hard lesson for me. I'm not sure I would have passed. There's no way in my heart I could have taken the life of my own kids. So Abraham must have believed and known that God was going to come through for him, right? Pretty cool story. So we go back and we learn from Abraham that he's putting his faith into action. All right, conclusion. Let's go with that. Come on, Josie. The judge says, here's the verdict.
So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone.
All right, are you guys getting the point yet? Because I'm not sure if the people that were reading this in the Bible were quite getting it. James felt like they weren't quite done and needed to explain it some more. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Now, here's an interesting thing, okay? I want to bring up a counterpoint to this argument. You might think that James and maybe Paul don't agree with each other and that maybe that the Bible contradicts itself, because here's what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this as a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So how does Paul's words about grace being the basis of our faith and James saying that faith without deeds is dead? Well, here's the end of it. Check it out. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. So we can be saved by grace, and God has planned good things for us to do. And the things that we do aren't what saves us. We're saved by God's free gift of grace. But our faith is realized when we put our faith into action and we do the good things that God had planned for us to do. The good things don't save us, but the good things are intended for us to live out and show action to our faith. So in the end, there isn't a contradiction, even though it sounds like it and it might seem like it. And Christianity ends up being one of the very few religions that's not based on works, not based on what you do. Although James and this whole lesson we're talking about is about what you do. We're going to move on to example number three, okay? Example number three. Now we've got another historical example. This is a reference from Joshua 6. Joshua had sent some spies into the land, and the spies had hid and were kept safe by this lady named Rahab. She hid the spies and allowed them to escape back to Joshua. And because of that action, because that could have gotten to her a lot of trouble if she got caught, okay, she put her faith in the spies and the belief that those people were of God and was able to protect them. And so she gets mentioned here. Example three, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. And so when Joshua came to attack the city, he spared Rahab and her family because she had shown faith. All right, so now we've got another real life example from history. All right, so now we're going to get both all together. We're going to get example four and conclusion four all together. All right, the last example is this. Just as the body is dead without breath. Okay, think about that. Is it true? He gives a universal example here, one that everyone can relate to, that your body without breath is dead, right? And though, here's the conclusion. Where's Josie? This is your last one. Ring it. Yes, come on up. Give us the conclusion. Once and for all, what is the answer?
So also faith is dead without good works.
Okay, the final word, faith without deeds is dead, without good works is dead. All right, do we get the point? I think Joshua kind of brought that home pretty good. I think maybe we got it right at the beginning, but apparently they needed to hear it a bunch. Why do you think James needed to say these words to the people he was writing to? What do you think? So they could understand better? What maybe were they not doing? Struggling living their faith. Yeah, totally. Sharing it for sure. Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. How about us? Do we struggle to live out our faith? We do, right? Are these timely good words for us? I believe they are, yeah. So here's the question. We're just going to let this linger for a few minutes. Just read it up on the screen. What are some ways we can put our faith into action? That's what I want you to do at your table, okay? Talk to your friends. Talk to the people you're sitting with. And then I'm going to pull some ideas from you. But what are some ways you can put your faith into action? Okay, you've had time to talk. I want to hear from you. So talk to me. Put up your hand. Share with me something you shared at your table. What are some ways we can put our faith into action? Sure. Sharing your faith with people at school, that's hard to do, right? So let me challenge you this. Pick somebody. You want to do it? Okay, do it. Pick somebody. Think of somebody in your head right now. Who's somebody that you could share your faith with at school? You need to practice on somebody. Find a Christian that already knows God and practice on them. Okay, we did that at Donut Club this past week. That was kind of fun, right? we're doing like one verse evangelism and sharing the story of God, okay? On a napkin, just at the lunch table. Super easy. Who is somebody who doesn't know God that you could share your faith with? You don't have to tell me. You think about it in your head, okay? And maybe in your life group, you could talk about that later if you like. Here's the thing. You know what James would say to you? Go do it. James wouldn't pull any punches. He'd be like, sweet, go do it. Just do it. Put your faith into practice. Just go do it. Mindfully and prayerfully go with the Spirit's strength. Go, but share it. Talk. Open your mouth. Right? Okay, so somebody else. Where's another way? What did you talk about at your table? What's a way you can put your faith into practice? Sharing with people who you follow when life is tough and it's hard. And yeah, that's good. That's good. Showing your faith in the way you act. Okay, so James says, look, if you see a need and you believe in Jesus, it would be good if you tried to meet that need, right? Now, we're not going to be 100% perfect on that, but somebody once said, this isn't my idea, but like see a need, meet a need, right? So if you see that somebody needs some lunch money, you help them out. If you see that the trash is overflowing and gross at youth group, maybe you serve the group and you help. If you see someone's hurting, maybe you comfort them and give them a hug and pray for them. You know, if you see somebody else who doesn't feel included, maybe you pull them in and you make them feel included. Yep. Yeah, so don't do things that contradict what you believe and then be living in the Spirit and showing kindness and compassion and love and acting out the things that God would do for sure. All right, I'm going to change the question now, okay? What is something you've seen somebody else in the room do? Like, how have you seen each other put their faith into practice, okay? How have you seen people in our youth group put their faith into practice? That's your question at your table, okay? All right, time's up. Who have you seen putting their faith into practice, putting their faith into action? Yeah, that's cool. Our student leaders who plan and put together fun events for us and work hard to help make the youth group a fun place to be and connect in meaningful ways. Yeah, that's good. Thomas teaching a faith club. Awesome. That's fantastic. Thanks for doing that. Yeah. Anybody else teach Bible study or share like a Bible time with people at school? Anybody do that? Yeah? That's cool. I have seen some of you have a lot of courage and step up and lead things like see you at the poll at your school. Like no one was leading it, no one was doing it, and you guys helped organize that and pull it together and had a guided prayer time and maybe even some worship at your school in September. That's fantastic. That's super cool. I mean, I saw some of you in on our mission projects, loving people by serving them and then trying to share God's love with them through physical acts of service. Like, oh my gosh, how much frozen food did you guys unload out of the freezer at the homeless shelter, right? You guys are like moving turkeys and giant things of beef and chicken, and people are coming in to use those things. They're going to use those to cook and help people who are hungry. But man, you guys worked your tails off on some of that stuff, right? All right, somebody else, real quick, a way that you saw someone else put their faith into practice. Okay, so your life group's really good at listening and offering help to people, to the guys in our group. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, we had some really powerful times where people were vulnerable and opened up and shared at ICE Camp and talked about their life and their struggles. And you know, those are cool God moments, right? Yeah. But you guys, that's the takeaway. I want you to think about what is something tangible this week that you could put into practice, a way that you could show your faith again. Okay, you don't just do it and you're done and you achieve and you arrive and you applaud yourself and you're done. You do this for the rest of your life. You look for ways to meet needs and help people. So a way tangibly this week that you could put your faith into action. Cool. All right, would you guys pray? God, I like James. He seems like a down-to-earth, fun guy who just gets life and isn't afraid to talk about faith, and I appreciate his candor. God, would you help us do what he gave so many examples about, of putting our faith into practice, putting our faith into action. God, all kinds of stuff get in our way, fear and worry and stress and just being lazy and not taking it serious can just sideline our faith, and we don't put it into practice. So would you protect us from those things? Would you help us to live it? And would you help us to show your love to others? Would you give us opportunity this week that we could take advantage of it and use it to meet a physical need, to meet a spiritual need, and to give us courage to share our faith. We pray in your name. Amen.